Linda von Tolberg for BizNews. There's a non-profit organization called Connect Hub that has created a 10-week entrepreneurship program for school pupils. And we have Tabolo Motsekgare in the studio to discuss that with us. Tabolo, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Such a pleasure, Linda. And yeah, I look forward to the discussion that we're going to have. Perhaps be able to share a little bit of the work that we do on this side from Connect Hub.
Okay, so what is Connect Hub?
Yeah, so it's a non-profit organization that is focusing on teaching entrepreneurship to young people, particularly high school learners, using the project-based learning method. What we're doing is that we've identified a couple of challenges within the education system. And what we're trying to do is to get young people to think differently about challenges in a community, right? So beyond the skills that you're going to be getting, what we're also trying to say to students is that the problems in our communities are not going to be solved by anybody but us. And I think it's a changing, and we're trying to challenge young people to think differently, you know, because the government this and the government yes. And I think to a great extent, there is an argument that can be made for that. But what we're saying is that it's the ordinary citizens on a daily basis that make decisions about the conditions in their own community. And so that is what Connect Hub is, nonprofit organization that is targeted young people to get them to think differently about their communities while teaching entrepreneurship in a different way, in a fresh way that currently does not exist in mainstream schooling.
So the community you come from, how did you, is that where you identified the problem?
Sure, yeah. So I think going back, I'm from Phuket, and anybody who has attended a FIFA 2010 World Cup game, England versus the United States of America, will know exactly what I'm talking about. It's in a place called the Royal Bafokeng Nation, currently one of the wealthiest tribes in Africa, in the African continent, doing very well. There is a beautiful history behind how it acquired its wealth and its relationship with the likes of Paul Kruger. I could go on and on about the history of this place. But basically what happened was that land was acquired back from the Boers, and beneath the soil is obviously this platinum deposits, this platinum belt. I think that if they knew what was beneath the soil, they would not have sold it back to the Bafokeng people. But here is a community that is thriving. Of course, it has its own issues. Of course, there are things that still need to be resolved. But I think that it's come to a point where citizens have to take some kind of responsibility for that. And Phuket is where I identified this need when I was in university at Nelson Mandela University, coming home every single holiday. I used to identify that, observe that the young people are not being catered for. And this is not unique to Phuket. I think there's a lot of communities all around South Africa where young people are just not catered for, where schools, for instance, that don't have strong extracurricular programs means that when school is out, when the academic program is over, young people are loitering about, right? And I think that is a recipe for all sorts of issues. So this is where I kind of thought, well, somebody has to do something about this, and I'm not necessarily going to rely on government or anybody to do it, because I have a fundamental belief that communities were not necessarily built by government officials. They were built by those who live in it. And this is where I got inspiration. When I first thought about it, it was not about an educational program. I fascinated over it, just creating a space for young people. I did not know what was going to go into that space. I knew that I wanted to perhaps sell coffee because I'm a coffee lover. But other than that, I did not know why and what was going to go into the space, other than the fact that I wanted it to be for young people. And I think that over time, we thought, well, I think it's much more sustainable to think about a program rather than creating a space for its sake. And that's where it was kind of birthed.
So you work with young children, and you're a teacher. So what do you think they're aspiring to? Are they, most of them, telling you they want to get a job one day? Do they think that the entrepreneurial route is a way for them?
Many of them, I think, think that, so I work and live in two different contexts. So where I'm from in Pugeng, a lot, the idea is, you know, get through matric, get a good qualification, come back home and work in the mines. Rustenburg is still very much a mine town. Whereas where I teach, there's much more of an entrepreneurial spirit there. And so, you know, I'm living in these two different worlds. And the idea is that, you know, what makes these kids that I'm teaching much more affluent, much more wealthy set up, different to the kids who are coming from Pugeng. And I think the only fundamental difference is the rhetoric, what they're being fed on a daily basis, right? Where I teach, a lot of the parents are in business already, so they get exposed to that. And I think that is the fundamental difference. And so, whereas on the one side, the idea is just to get a good job, be able to provide for your family, and then have kids and retire gracefully. And so entrepreneurship is not, it's not really encouraged as much as you would in a different context. So I think that more so, for a child not to get formal education, as in go to university, it's seen as a taboo, right? And so for me, it's also kind of challenging that mindset a little bit. Because if anybody knows the kind of issues that we have in South Africa, they will attest to the fact that even a formal education in South Africa does not guarantee you a job, right? There are a lot of kids who get a university degree and then still can't get a job. We've got engineers who can't get a job in South Africa. So for me, I think it's the most practical way of seeing a different route to making a living for oneself.
And just tell us about your background. You mentioned the community you're from, and now you're a teacher.
Sure. So I think what really inspired me was the events of the Fees Must Fall movement. I think what that did, besides the actual protest and learning about the plight and predicament of students who were definitely not from my background, was the challenges around education. The amount of learners who can't get access to formal education, the amount of students who get left out of the system, because there was a lot of conscientizing that happened beyond just the protests, right? I'm recalling evenings where we would have long discussions about, you know, how do we pinpoint what the actual issue is? And that for me was kind of what awakened my thinking around the challenges. And obviously they were further deepened when I got into the education space. And so that's kind of where I was inspired. And I think that if I had to just take another step back into my own background, is that I had phenomenal teachers who made me believe that I can be part of the change that I wanted to see. I recall my history teacher who again, you know, I would forget half of the things that she taught me, but I never forget how she made me feel about being a part of the solution in this country. You know, I've got mentors even to date who have become friends, who, you know, who have guided me in and inspired me, because, you know, again, just instilling this idea that nobody's going to do it for you. Study any community that is thriving. It is the people who took responsibility and who took charge of some of those issues. And so that's kind of what inspired my own thinking. And I think lastly, it's just my love for this country. Now we've just gone through elections and just seeing this process that many people take for granted. I mean, we're a very young country. So moments like these are quite memorable and they leave an emotional mark, right? And so when these things happen, they just continuously remind me that I have to be that change. And it might not be a major role, but if I can play a role in the change, then I would have done my job as a responsible citizen. Lastly, I think on this thought, very important for me is Khosi Leruo, the current king of the Royal Bafokeng Nation, constantly said, you know, we are building the school, Lebona College, so that you can go out into the world and make an impact, but also go and learn from the world and come back. And during the opening of the school, the new campus in 2010, late 2010, he reiterated this message over and over. I mean, lots of resources went into building that school. And so the idea was that we're building this so that you can go out into the world, come back and contribute into your own community. So this is where I draw a lot of my inspiration. This is where I kind of locate how I need to conduct myself as a responsible citizen. And that's, yeah, that's the background of where and why I do what I do.
Where do you want to take this?
So, you know, the African continent has 54 countries. And this is what I continue to say to my team, is that we want to go all over the world, but we've got a responsibility towards our own continent. I'm inspired by the likes of people like Fred Swanigher, who is the founder of the African Leadership Academy and African Leadership Universities as well. I'm inspired by the likes of Chinezi Chijioke, who is the founder of Nova Pioneers, who are also thinking about how do we create a system of education that is going to build young people into problem solvers. And so for me, in the next couple of years, it would really be getting a good footprint within the country. But the long-term goal is to have all the African countries involved. That is my moonshot project, is that we need to have a global reach. The other thing that we're doing is we've got some amazing people who have helped us to this point. We've got some friends in Canada, the likes of Leo Johnson and Mark Stewart, who I met when they were visiting the Royal Bafokeng Nation, and they're doing some amazing work in Canada. But how generous they've been with their time and advising us to this point, you know, because there's a lot of things that we overlook when building organizations, and sustainability and accountability is one of those things that for me are a priority in everything that we do, the relationships that we build. When people look at Connect Hub, I don't want them to look at, oh, just another nonprofit organization looking to gain money. And that's why we're very serious about sustainability. And so for the next couple of years, 54 countries is kind of the big goal within the continent. And of course, we want to build relationships in other countries as well, so that we can get them involved. Because I know that the issues that I'm describing, particularly around curriculum, exist in other countries as well. Because we speak to our colleagues, be it in the UK, be it in Switzerland, be it in Canada, be it in the United States, and all of these other areas. It's the same issues where they're thinking we're not intentional enough about what we're trying to build. So let's put something together that is going to respond to some of those needs very intentionally. And so that's kind of where we want to take this in the next couple of years.
Multiple on Motikara, that's a great aim to change education in South Africa and the way we teach and the way people think about education. Thank you so much for speaking to us.
Thank you so much, Rima. I really appreciate it.